Captain Kirk is climbing a mountain. Why is he climbing a mountain? Captain Kirk is climbing a mountain. Why is he climbing a mountain? Captain Kirk is climbing a mountain. Why is he climbing a mountain? Captain Kirk is climbing a mountain. Why is he climbing a mountain? To hug the mountain. To envelop that mountain. To hug the mountain. To envelop that mountain. To hug the mountain. That mountain. That mountain. He wants to make love to the mountain. Tough young guys, sinewy bodies in their fingers and teeny toes challenge the rock, challenging death. Why do I climb the mountain? Because I'm in love.
All right, everyone, we're back. This is episode 10 of the Venerable ContraCast. We've somehow made it 10 episodes, and that's fantastic. So joining me today is John and Mike. Windows activation bubble just popped up. That's funny. Yay, I have successfully... Yeah, all right, nice. I have actual Windows, guys. So anyway, we're coming to you now from our respective locations. Friday, Mike and I moved down to UNC Charlotte, and John is in his bedroom talking on the computer.
Oh, yeah. And I didn't go anywhere to college. I just kind of hang around here.
Anyway, so we've got a lot to talk about. Not a lot of topics, though. We had a few, and they were just what we've got. What the list I'm looking at is so crazy. I mean, it's like nothing is connected, you know. So this show is going to talk about two things. It's going to talk about college and us moving in and our experiences today and the weekend and whatnot. And also the new film from Quentin Tarantino, Inglourious Bastards. So, without further ado, John, please tell us how people can get in contact with you, and then we'll move to Mike.
Okay, you can get in touch with me at facebook.com/j.kwiatkowski, and at twitter.com/j_kwiatkowski, and how about you, Mike?
You can get in contact with me through Facebook at /mpulowski, and you can get in contact with me through Twitter at Michael Pulowski. Thank you, Paul.
All right, and as per usual, you can get in touch with me at twitter.com/contrapaul, facebook.com/kwiatkowski, the blog where you already found, no doubt, this podcast, and where else? No, I guess that's about it. You can email the show at contrapaul@gmail.com with any kind of comments, questions you got. And also, my Google Voice number is 336-303-0390. If you want to call, leave a message. You know, I can download it, put it in the show. Might be fun for all four of you who are listening. Yay! So, this week at college... Yeah, it's been a trip down to Charlotte. John, you had your classes today. You didn't have the move-in experience. I think we'll start on Friday and we'll work up to today.
Yeah, so you guys start. I mean,
yeah, Mike, you were down here first. How was your move-in?
Really hot.
Definitely. Well, you brought out so much more stuff than me too.
Oh yes, I did. I had a fridge, a 42-inch television, and a giant stand to hold the television. Those are my two big items, and every single one of those, except for the fridge, I've carried up the stairs because the elevator was so overcrowded. It was like a 45-minute.
Plus, you had all your clothes and everything.
Oh, yeah, all my clothes and just all this other junk in my room. Surprisingly, it fits in my room quite nicely. It's so much better than my dorm last year. I got a built-in closet and everything.
Yeah.
My mini fridges in my room because I got a kitchen out in my apartment. I got a nice... I'm on the fourth floor, so it's really nice. Other than that, back to you.
My room is awesome. It's actually huge. It's almost as big as my room at home, basically.
Wow.
I packed pretty light, though, compared to Mike. I didn't bring a 42-inch TV. I brought three duffel bags, one with tech stuff, one with, like, stuff, and one with clothes. So I moved in pretty well. I've got a pretty wide desk set up. And it's nice. The only problem is my room is big and we can watch TV on my my monitor and everything. But I only have one chair. I need to fix that. I need to get chair from Trade Chat to come in here and tell me about how I can add chairs to my life. I think we're gonna go to IKEA next Saturday though, and so that's a place where we can go to find stuff.
Oh yeah.
Anyway, yeah, my move-in was pretty good. I'm in the Greek village here, and if anyone who knows me knows that I am not at all a fan of fraternities and sororities and bro life. So it was kind of a surprise to hear that I was in this house. I mean, it's nice. It's a converted independent house. There's only like 28 people here max. You know, I get parking right outside of my dorm and everything, but I'm in a bro house. So I do have to, I'm a little off campus. I have to drive to get on campus. But anyway, I love Charlotte. It's beats the heck out of Boone, that's for sure.
Oh yeah, especially with the new union.
But I know. Well, just the town. I mean, just the city too. It destroys Boone. I mean, the new Walmart.
There's stuff to do down there.
I know the new Walmart they opened here is like twice as big as the Walmart we have in Boone. Like quite literally, it is the biggest Walmart I've ever been in.
It needs to be big. It's packed every day.
I know. Well, it's the only Walmart I've ever been in with like lanes and traffic and stuff, and like you'll come to a intersection and not be able to cross because there's people walking past. But anyway, it's pretty cool, and the town's awesome, the city's awesome. So move-in was good. We moved in pretty easily. You know, my room's odd. I've had a roommate for 2 years now, and I've been on a hall with like lots of people, and you know, you meet people fast and everything. It's like I've seen like three people in the building. I have met one person in my building. Oh, I've met my RA.
Sad.
I haven't really talked to him. Anyway, Mike, you're in a 4-person suite. How's that working out?
Pretty well. Everyone really kind of stays to themselves. They're cool guys. I got just three guys living with me. They all have their own room, and I thought they would use the 42-inch TV more, but I think each one of them has their own like HD TV in their room, and I hear them playing Xbox in there. At least two of them do.
Yeah, Mike's got a pretty cool fourth floor, like 4-person suite with like a kitchen and living room and a bathroom and stuff. And
the chairs are so nice.
It's pretty cool. I share a bathroom with one guy, but it's weird because he's next to me. I haven't seen him. He wasn't even here until like late last night. And so I just heard him once. I just heard him go in there and like I saw the light and I heard like the toilet flush. And then he like walks out and locked the door on his side again. And I was just like, there is life in there. But it's pretty weird. So yeah, it's, you know, it's been a fun moving in. Saturday was a day, you know. I don't even remember what happened Saturday. I guess, didn't we go see, we went to Inglourious Basterds Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we went to Concord Mills. John, there is a Lego store at Concord Mills.
I have to go there.
Oh my gosh. It makes you want to buy so many Legos.
Except for the screaming kids.
There was kids everywhere, but there were also Legos everywhere. Also they had FYE. FYE is a pretty cool store.
Oh yeah.
Well, they had posters there, but a cool idea they finally had was the new student union. They got like this company that came with just like hundreds of posters, and
yeah.
They're all like, they're huge, and they're like $10 a piece, which is really cheap for how large they are. And I got one today.
We've had that app the last couple of years, but all everyone ever does is goes and buys buy Bob Marley posters. They buy Animal House posters.
That's because it's
exactly, but this
looks cool up there.
They opened the student union today.
Officially.
It's been open, but it's huge. It's awesome. We got a Barnes & Noble bookstore in there. There's a Wendy's, Starbucks, a couple other restaurants. And get this is my favorite new feature. Going into Wendy's, they have a, like just that area, they have a 42-inch HD TV that is running a software. It's linked to a computer, and it is displaying a live tweet feed for tweets that mention at UNC CSU, UNC Charlotte Student Union. And so I tried it out. I whipped out my phone, you know, there. And it tells you to text to 41414. And so I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to, because that's just a, because I could tell it's obviously a Twitter client. It's not just, you know, that's like a, I don't know, text client as well. But it's pretty cool. I mean, I was in line today and I just, I tweeted at UNCC some kind of random message and pimped my site. And then all of a sudden, like 20 seconds later, it pops up on the feed and I was like, nice.
That's pretty cool. Do it like once a day and
promote the site.
I did it a few other times. Yeah, I don't want to go overkill because I'm sure they'll like block me or something, you know.
They'll start spamming it.
Oh, yeah. I don't think they'd block you.
Well, I don't know how long they're going to keep it up. I know it's going today, and I tweeted at it. I was like, how long will this be up? And the guy's like, we'll bring it back for certain events and stuff. And I think it'll be up for the next couple days. I really wish it was up all the time, but I think it's just gonna, they're going to use that screen for like a more informative thing and not just a Twitter feed, you know?
Yeah.
It's cool to see that the school's up to date.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's funny because you look at the board and only a handful of people had done anything, you know? And it was mainly just like one guy who was actually running the thing. So I was doing it. And so he like directly replied to like both of my tweets earlier in the day and everything. And, you know, I think it's funny. I mean, we talked about this before, I'm sure, you know, how there was a little report that teens don't tweet. College doesn't tweet that much either. I mean,
yeah,
it's fairly new.
In my classes today, both of them, they mentioned Twitter and stuff, and everyone just kind of like agrees, but no one in the class uses Twitter.
Everybody's just so in love with Facebook.
Well, Facebook, and texting, and, you know, whatever else. It's funny, I think our very first episode, we meant to talk about how Iran and Twitter were going on. I actually have a class now about Iran from the revolution until the current times. And so we talked about that a little bit today. And it's funny because this is just off a little tangent. But, you know, when my parents and when other people think about Twitter, they don't understand how it was involved in the election, you know. They seem to think that it's just like, I don't know, the Iranians tweeting like at lunch support revolution or something. But in reality, they were like using it as a tool to organize and motivate each other and dodge tanks and, you know, I mean, not tanks, but police and whatnot. So it's certainly, it's more full feature than people think it is. It's not the at lunch with grandpa thing. Anyway, I thought it was pretty cool. I mean, Twitter wall, certainly something that was, you know, I wish they'd keep around. I know I can see the potential for spam and for whatever kind of content on it. But it was nice to see that. Mike, what do you think of the new student union?
I think it's really nice. I can't wait to see the theater they have. It's only supposed to seat like 200.
Oh, yeah.
I think it would be really crowded at times, but I know they're going to be showing like shows every day periodically, and then it'll kind of die down.
It's like Thursday to Sunday, and there's like three shows a day. So if you do the math, it's like, you know, 610 seats a day times 4 days. I mean, there's potential 2,400 people could go there. So it's not so bad. But anyway. I mean, as a transfer student, I'm really liking Charlotte. It's, you know, it's big and it's hot, but other than those,
it'll be nice during the fall. It's really nice during the fall.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. I have quite a hike in the morning actually, so that would be really nice. You know, but it's been good. I mean, I've enjoyed the campus. The classes have been good. Some girl got hit today. It's kind of off on another
tangent. I'll explain more.
I dropped Mike off in his dorm. We got some playing cards and some other stuff. And there was a girl like on the side of the road, and like all these cops are going past, and she was like collapsed. And this guy was outside of his truck, just kind of pacing around. And some guy, like some older guy in a truck, just like hit her walking. At least that's what it looked like. A cop pulled in the median, just wrecked the mulch, getting past me to get over to her. So hopefully she's okay. That reminds me, this guy at App was riding down a hill on his bike and slammed into the side of a truck.
So he hit the truck.
That was his fault. So, anyway.
That shows about the IQ of, you know, Boone. Guys, people running into cars.
Well, it's a mountainous. I mean, you don't need to make, you need to make sure you, you know, we're just watching.
Make sure your bike has brakes.
It's like Buster did indeed make the bike fast, but he also forgot to equip it with brakes. that's what it was like there. Anyway, I guess we should. I'll pimp the Impact thing we went to. We went to Impact UNCC Ministries, and that was pretty fun. Better than anything like it. App for sure. I think the guy there was a part of he taught us. He was giving them teaching or whatever. He picked up paint and was trying to Jackson Pollock all over this canvas. Was it just me, Mike, or did it look like he just completely splashed a ton behind it?
Like, they usually do something crazy like that to illustrate the point, which is cool, but he's done other stuff like that, but I think he didn't mean to splatter the paint all over the hardwood floor.
I know, it was...
They have to clean that up for the classes tomorrow.
They're just borrowing, they're just renting the room or whatever, and he, steps all on the paint and walks all over the stage accidentally. And they took off his shoes, and he got his socks all in it accidentally. That's pretty funny.
That sucks.
But that was a lot of fun. you know, I'm looking forward to doing more of that.
Well, seeing this is our 10th show, you know, celebration, but we're going to try and make it kind of short.
Yeah, we'll get into, you know, is there any, we've kind of sped through the college thing. I mean, I guess we should do classes today, and then we'll move out of this topic for just a minute.
Of course, I could also, you know, talk about FoTech for a little bit. So.
Yeah, John, please do. Tell us about your experience for SciTech today and what, you know, your classes are and everything. And we will pick up with us in a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm not going to university in the area. I'm just going to the community college here for a year. And, I mean, you know, I had three classes today. And the first one was my English class. And the teacher, you know, she seems fine. It's not, you know, that annoying. She's got a little annoying mouse voice. But, I mean, it's not that bad. And that class, it's not going to be that hard. She was talking about all this, you know, you've got to know the formatting. We're going to have to spend so much time going over, you know, MLA format, in which is only really needed if you're 40 in the class. And so, I mean, it's going to be an easy class. Then I've got a human geography or social geography, and we just kind of sat down, and no one showed up, and the department head came in and was like, so your teacher's out sick. He had, like, emergency surgery yesterday, and so he'll be out for a while. So that's pretty nice. Let's see. Had a chemistry next. I've got the department head for chemistry, which is pretty cool. And that looks to be a really fun class. But the worst, though, is there are 9,000 students now enrolled at the community college. And there's enough parking for about a fifth of that. And so it took 20 minutes to find a parking spot today.
Oh, I did?
And I was lucky that I went to school, you know, 35 minutes early, or I wouldn't have been in my first class. But the annoying thing is they've got a shuttle that runs from the mall to your hair. You know, like, you can go park at the mall, there's a designated spot, and they'll shuttle you to the college. Which is great, because it's not far away at all. But the problem is it runs from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. And the classes that I need to use that for start at 11 and end at 3. Which,
oh, that's weird.
Huh.
It's annoying because I can't use it then.
Why would they just stop it at 2?
I don't know. I mean, they've got like a number, you know, for questions. So I'm gonna call and be like, "Why can't you just, you know, continue it and make it longer?"
I mean, just do it to like 3 or 4 or something.
Because,
you know,
I ran into today 3 or 4 people I knew, and I also ran into some people at work that go there, and they were like, "We don't get it because, you know, our classes start at like 10 or 11, and that's when you can't find parking." And, you know, they get out at, you know, by the, we're done at 3 or 4. And so we can't do the mall parking, which they're trying to push so hard, but the hours don't work for it. It's just kind of frustrating that, you know, I'm going to be having to go to school an hour early to find a place to park. But, you know, tomorrow's an odd day for classes. Every Tuesday will be. Because I've got a chemistry lab, which time, you know, it's not going to be a set time. It's, like 2 to 4 about. you know, that's if it takes up the entire period. And then I've got a gap till 6 o'clock math. So that'll be a good time when I can get, you know, some shopping or whatnot done. Or, you know, some homework in the area. And that's about it.
Surf the web on your new Zune HD.
Zune HD.
Can't wait to do that.
Play with that there. And I think that's about it. It's not gonna be that hard of a year, probably.
Let's hope.
I mean, nothing so far has seemed like
nothing at Fotech is.
Exactly. Fotech is
folks in calculus one beg to differ.
But I mean, that's about it.
Oh, all right. Well, Mike, your classes today?
Today I had my first class is at 11. I wake up at like 7 because the sun comes in my room. I need to fix that. Anywho, I used to have classes at 8, so thankful that I get to wake up later, or at least get that extra hour of sleep. Had calculus this morning at 11. Of course, the teacher, you know, kept me for the whole time. Usually they're not. They don't. For the first class, calculus seemed like it was going to be, he kind of reviewed stuff. He has an accent, but he writes everything he says on the board, so it doesn't seem that hard. After that, I got a Flight Mechanics 1.
Oh, that's cool.
It's, well, the thing is, it's static mechanics is what he said, so we're not doing any dynamic stuff, so we're just talking about forces on objects that, you know, are stationary or whatever, but I'm sure I'll get into the static or the dynamics later. The bad thing is, though, I had $700 spent on books this year, and my teacher claims I need one more, and it's the old book they used to use because he's used to signing a homework out of the old book. So we just need the old book for homework. So I gotta go and buy that. Like, he says you don't have to buy it and borrow it. And I'm like, where am I gonna borrow it from? Who am I gonna get it from? But another thing is the lack of female value in our female presence in any of my classes because I am in engineering, so it's just a miracle.
There's at least a work site.
Yeah, and there's at least one girl in there. It's a miracle. We had one this morning in my calculus class, but of course halfway through she realized she was in the wrong class. Same thing happened for my applied mechanics class, but finally, near the end of the class, some girl came in and she was in the wrong class and she was supposed to be an applied mechanic. So wooed on that. And of course, me and three other guys were talking about that. But yeah, my classes seem pretty hard this year. Tomorrow I got surveying, which is interesting, but it's difficult. It just takes up lots of time. And then I got geology, which shouldn't be too hard, and then physics. Oh my gosh, physics.
That'll be a fun one.
Oh, I've done physics in high school, and it's really difficult. You just got to pay attention and do a lot of studying. But other than that, my classes seem, you know, as far as, you know, schedule goes, better than last year, waking up at 8 a.m. How about you, Paul?
Yeah, well, I had two of my classes today. I was supposed to have three. I had a lab at 8:15. And no one told us we didn't have a lab at 8:15. So the whole class showed up ready to roll at 8:15. After a little trip to the office, we learned that we didn't have to do anything until 9:30. So we waited around, went to political methods at 9:30. And according to the teacher, it's the hardest class any of us will have in college. So yay!
Have fun with that.
It's going to be great. I can't wait. He was a cool guy, but we played this, you know, like icebreaker type meet and greet game, you know.
Gosh, I can't stand those in college.
I don't mind them when they're short. I really don't. I don't mind just saying my name, but he had us like introduce ourselves, like say what you want to be when you grow up and all this other stuff. And then our the most interesting thing about us, and when we get to the end of each row, we had to vote on them, and it was just all this extra stuff, and we ended up being there until basically it was over. Exactly. And then I had a class at 2, and so it was really hot today, and through various means, I ended up walking across campus like 4 times, just because I get to one place and be like, oh, I'm really hungry, and then I walk somewhere else, and they'll be like, oh, I need to go turn in my medical forms.
Tell them about the girl with the tablet.
Oh, I'll tell you about the last. Yeah, my second class was Iran. It was a lot of fun, but the teacher really dumb with computers. But she was just bad. The girl next to me took the cake for it, and so she has like a 2004, 2005 HP tablet PC. And for those of you who are unaware, these are like basically small laptops that have a rotating swivel in the middle of the bottom of the screen, the base of the screen, and so you can spin it around and close it shut in reverse, and so you can use like a pen or your finger, but a stylus on it, you know, stylus on the screen to write and do all sorts of tablet-y things. Tablet PCs, they're still around. They were supposed to catch on 5 years ago. They really didn't. Anyway, so this girl has one. By the way, I've always thought they're pretty cool, but they just, you know, I mean, internet tablets are going to take over. iPhones have taken over and whatnot. So there never was a niche that they needed to fill so much. Anyway, so she's got this. And first thing I know, she boots it up, and it's running Windows Vista. Now, this thing already has low processing power, low RAM, low video and everything. And she's trying to run Windows Vista, which is an inefficient behemoth for low power systems. So it's running really slow, and then she can't get online. And so she reboots the thing a total of 3 times. She doesn't try to go into, you know, the network things. It just tells her that she can't connect when she ran a troubleshoot thing. And she didn't like, you know, go find a troubleshoot. It just said diagnose problems. And she's like, okay. And then she finally got back in. It took her like 3 reboots. The internet was up. She goes into Internet Explorer, and she has no less than 5 toolbars. 5 toolbars, including Google and Yahoo and 3 that I hadn't seen before, cluttering her screen. So it was like, you know, the screen.
So it's like half the page is a big toolbar.
And that's like a 13-inch screen. It was like, you know, a very, very solid chunk of the screen.
Might as well have an iPhone.
Toolbar, so that was pretty funny. The best thing, though, is she logged in, and her username was Blondster. So she's not doing much to help her stereotype. Anyway, I had a good time with my classes. They were a lot of fun. You know, hopefully I've got 2 tomorrow. I think they're like 9:30 to 10 or 11, and then like 11 to 2:15. I don't know, something 12:15 maybe. Hopefully they're not terribly long. Anyway, we have basically rounded that topic out. So what's before we get into Inglourious Basterds, what do you guys think? I mean, we've made 10 episodes. Any thoughts about our supposed success?
Well, how many people are actually listening to the show? That's
a good question. I haven't checked the stats in a while.
Yeah, but we don't know with streaming too, though.
No, that's I actually do know streaming.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it's we need to figure out. You guys, you know, I mean, you're doing okay. We need to figure out a strategy to up the marketing for this. And I think I need to do some more background research. But we had our most listenership for like episodes 5 and 6, I think. Yeah. It's gone down, and I've looked at it. It has a very direct correlation to how many people post on it. So like 8 and 9 or 7 and 8, or one combination of those. I think I was the only one to post anything about it. And it could have been just that I did it late and everything. But because of that, the listenership for those particular episodes is terribly low compared to the others, which had like 4 people posting for them. So who knows? I'll check it later. We do need to do some, we need to up the ante on our marketing and whatnot. But it's, you know, I mean, we're doing all right. So, what do you guys think? I mean, how do you think the show has been doing as far as content and whatnot?
I think it's pretty steady on like a tech/lifestyle.
Mike, what do you think?
Yeah, I think what John said, tech/lifestyle.
I like how, I mean, you look back, and I haven't listened to it in a while, but I you listen to every show after I do it, you know. We've changed substantially since the beginning. I mean, certainly the way we are able to converse on the show is good. It's come a long way since the beginning. But also our topics and the quality of the topics. I think if we had our same discussion about, for instance, Twitter and Facebook today, you know, or other things like that, I think it'd be a much much more longer discussion, to say the very least. But I really enjoyed this show. I mean, I'm glad we've made it 10 episodes. You know, we've slowed down a little bit recently with our consistency, and for that we all apologize. But
it was the transition into college. If we could just, you know.
Yeah, I know that. Well, we were really on cue with everything, and then I got my job at Ross, and you know, working during the day is one thing, working at night is another thing entirely. And so I ended up, you know, doing the whole night thing, and that slowed me down. But anyway,
we'll get a set time every week, you know.
Yeah, no, we should be good. We're coming to you now, recording Monday night. It'll probably be up Tuesday afternoon, Tuesday night. I can't see putting up tonight. But I think we're going to try to come to you either Saturday or Sunday night. So we'll get more on a regular schedule. But anyway, any last thoughts before we move on to the movie topic?
No, I don't think so.
Let's go ahead and talk about Inglourious Basterds.
All right, you guys, there's only one way we can settle who's going to go first talking about the movie. And I think you just saw me do it in Skype. Totally unscientific and not rigged at all. It looks like, unless Mike pulls out a crazy roll, that he is. Or John. Oh!
I got the Drake there.
Alright.
You want me to start it?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Alright. Friday night we went and saw, and me and Paul went and saw Inglourious Basterds, and I know John saw it some night, but another Quentin Tarantino movie, really, really good. It was just what I expected from every Quentin Tarantino movie, always like, John, I guess not talking through Skype. But
all right, no more Skype chat.
Yeah, everybody dies basically. It was really good. It was had chapters. It was pretty, you know, unpredictable, which made it awesome. The only negative I can say about it was I thought it was about the Inglourious Basterds. They kind of kept on the side stories so much, you know. They should have talked more about the Inglourious Basterds. I mean, you get to see them, and they are the main characters, but they do tie in to everything at the end, like all his movies do. They all always end up, you know, affecting each other. But still, it was really good. And
that was kind of an odd twist. And they, you know, I kind of, on one hand, I know they had to market it a certain way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they couldn't, you know, if they showed Marcel and Shoshana, no one would go to the movie.
Oh, yeah.
But they really made it look like the entire movie was just going to be, you know, the bastard shooting Nazis.
Killing Nazis.
You know, and that's especially like the trailer where Brad Pitt's just walking back and forth. And so you got a feeling like you'd be going into a movie that was like a modern Tarantino-ized Dirty Dozen movie.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of thing. And it really wasn't. I mean, there was a little bit of that vibe in places, especially when spoilers for anyone that hasn't seen it. Let me just go ahead and real quick. I'd rather talk about this movie with spoilers than not, because it'll be more fun for everyone. So if you don't want spoilers, you know, maybe skip ahead a little bit and try to tune out your ears. But for right now, I'm going to put a spoiler in there. When they break Hugo Stieglitz out of jail, that was a part to me that felt just like Dirty Dozen with all of them coming up there, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know about you guys. My favorite part in the entire movie, I did enjoy the last scene, you know, where they're the two guys burst in and they're shooting everyone after they kill Hitler and kill him.
And shoot him 5,000 times.
Overkill Hitler. But my favorite part of the entire movie is just so unpredictable. When the German officer in the beginning says, "Everyone knows Hugo Stieglitz," and then it shows Hugo Stieglitz, and it shows his name and starts playing that guitar music. That's about my favorite
That
part.
was pretty good.
Anyway, John, what were your thoughts about the initial thoughts about the movie anyway?
I don't know, it definitely felt like a Quentin Tarantino film, you know? Like the style of it was really cool, but different. I don't know, I loved it. It was the first, like World War II, timed movie where Hitler dies. That
Yeah, I
seems,
like how
yeah.
they changed history.
That was a big,
I
'cause for a long
wasn't
time I
expecting.
wasn't sure if he was just gonna let history do what it did, and say, oh, it's a like that movie from the 70s, The Eagle Has Landed,
Yeah.
That movie had a lot of revisionist stuff, but it didn't make any major changes,
Yep.
In the end, it was just a, Churchill impersonator that died. Hitler and Goebbels actually died in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
As well as like all of the German high command and stuff, and they basically ended the war in one night.
I thought it was cool how they followed, the two plot lines that really had nothing to do with each other,
Yeah,
aside
well, I
from.
like that a lot too, and that's something. And I apologize. I have not seen Reservoir Dogs, and I keep on meaning to. It just from I saw I can't relate it and say, oh, it's from that, but it reminds me of, like say the Bruce Willis storyline versus. The Jules and Travolta storyline from Pulp Fiction.
Yeah,
I mean, there's very distinct storylines, and they keep on coming back and
and
crossing over.
they don't really come together until the end of the movie.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, you knew they were
Yeah.
going along at the same time, and you picked up on all that. But it certainly wasn't anything like I expected. I think. The biggest thing that I really enjoyed was how long the banter and everything was going in the movie.
Yeah.
It was much more suspenseful than I expected.
Oh yeah, it was the fight scenes. That's the one thing. The fight scenes were so short, but the suspense was so
They
high
were short, but
that they were
stuff like
good.
in some scenes that I think with other directors could have felt like they were dragging on for years,
The bear Jew walking out of the cave.
Yeah.
That
Exactly. That's the
lasted
thing.
forever.
If that was Michael Bay, you'd been like, get it over with, get out of the cave. Or the scene that to me could have taken so long. Well, there's two, the opening scene and then the bar scene.
Oh yeah, the opening scene. Oh man,
Yeah.
the bar scene.
That one's a little
Your
long.
stuff was gonna go down in the bar scene, but
Yeah.
you just did not know when. They just kept on tricking you.
The opening, I liked the opening and it set up the characters, but it set up the one character. It set up, well, the antagonist and then the secondary protagonist. I was surprised by the opening, given that, I don't know. I didn't know what to expect from the opening.
And it kind of gave the main antagonist, it gave it a good impression of what he's like
It was
and
good.
his
Yeah.
methods.
That surprised me is I can't remember how Kill Bill starts. I liked the opening to Pulp Fiction very much, and I expected something like that. I did not expect
I
a
think the
slow.
opening to Kill Bill was more, action, violence, kind of cool.
Oh, Kill Bill. Yeah, because Kill Bill, she goes to the one assassin's house. She drives up in the truck and
Yeah,
comes out
that's how it
having a
starts.
Yeah.
knife fight and whatnot. That's how it's. So it starts very action oriented. The first act of Pulp Fiction, they go in. Oh no, the first act of Pulp Fiction is in the diner,
Yeah, but it's so
which is the end
it's
of the movie.
such a good scene, and so, but that's what I wasn't expecting. I was not expecting a slower, more ponderous scene, from this movie, and it's certainly I expected some kind of thing with to deal with, dealing with the bastards. I did not expect a guy that looked like Gerard Butler. From 300 and Hans Landa bantering back and forth in English and French.
One thing I gotta say I loved about the movie is the last five or so movies I've seen, they're supposed to take place in a different country. They
Yeah.
started off with the languages there and then swapped completely to
Yeah.
English.
That was my
I loved it.
biggest
It's
qualm
spoken
with
like
it.
what, four different languages in this movie?
Yeah, that's
And
what I really
English was
liked
like
about.
I think second most compared to like German or French.
They do that a lot in his other movies too. I
I
mean,
liked it
there's.
because it had a purpose. Like when he asked at the beginning, he asked him to switch to English, and first off, you're like, why are they talking in English? You think it's just, so people don't have to read subtitles? Well,
Yeah.
it has like a double
Yeah,
purpose
that's the
because you
He's like,
find
I
out later why he
said
wants
to
to
be
switch to
exhausted, my
English.
French, can I speak in English now?
Yeah. Valkyrie, that's like, Valkyrie was not a bad movie, but the way that they transitioned to English really drove me nuts. Because, I mean, I'm the kind of person that would not mind watching an entire movie in German. You know, I mean, I certainly don't mind watching anime in Japanese. I can't
speak. But it would make it more realistic then, you know.
And so I was disappointed when Tom Cruise starts speaking in Tom Cruise-y in German, and then they just kind of, you know, rotate
like, you know,
into English.
Talking, he should be talking in German.
Yeah. You but know, that was good. I really enjoyed this. I mean, they brought the Italian in, they brought the French in.
the Italian.
You know, I thought some of the characters were fantastic. I mean, I was not at all expecting Shoshana and Marcel and Frederick, was it Voller?
I think so.
You know who I wasn't really expecting, which made a great addition, was I didn't quite recognize him at first, and I know you didn't even, you know, like, think it was him, but Mike Myers.
That was funny.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
we
Mike
saw
Myers.
Him
here,
and now I recognize him, but it was just weird to me. And then you guys want to know another awesome thing from the movie?
What?
Did you hear who did all the voiceovers?
Who?
Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh, yeah, I remember. His voice sounded familiar. I was like, that's Samuel.
Oh, gosh. That was so great. And that was one of those things I was looking forward to. You know, I was like, I hope they put him in here somewhere. And certainly he was. And I think he's in... Oh, he is in Kill Bill.
Yeah.
He's the piano player in the second movie's church scene.
Oh, yeah, he is.
Where is he in this movie?
He was the voiceover guy. So whenever it showed like a map or whatever, it was talking about the bastards, it was him, you know. But I did, you know, I really liked the movie. I mean, I give it an easy 9 of 10. I just wish there had been more focus on the bastards,
more action.
Yeah, there could have been more action, and it would not have spoiled the movie. I think. I mean, for instance, they
basement
were
scene lasted all of the fight scene at lasted all
yeah.
of 5 seconds.
The bastards were introduced, and then the next time we see them, they already have a reputation.
Yeah, they're already killing people.
And then it's just like, I mean, we jump around in time substantially, and then two, you know, three of them die, and it's just like we never get to see them do the stuff.
I think, you know, he didn't really want to have them. I think he wanted to have them as part of the plot, but, I mean, not as watching them the whole way, because, like, you know, every movie is following one group.
The
fact that chapter two of the movie is called Inglourious Basterds and it's about them, you know, certainly tells you that that's the group he's referring to. But I think that the title, for instance, Inglourious Basterds, can refer to more people than just that.
Oh, yeah.
Certainly Marcel and Shoshana could be considered that as well. Who knows? I mean, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a fantastic movie.
Oh, yeah, it was.
No, I know you're not following him. Rainn Wilson, the guy who plays Dwight Schrute on The Office, has done other things. I follow him on Twitter, and right after I went to see the movie, he tweeted, taking my 4-year-old to Inglourious Basterds. Never too young to see the harsh realities of war." I was laughing at that. But yeah, I highly recommend it. It's certainly not for kids. Don't think it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, definitely not for 4-year-olds.
No, it's not for 4-year-olds at all. It is more tame than District 9, for instance.
Oh, yeah.
And certainly,
there's only some gory parts.
I'd say 5 people left when we did the finger in the bullet hole.
5 people left? People left there?
Yeah.
Huh.
People got left there.
Wow.
Wow, jeez.
That's pretty conservative.
Must have been a mom taking her kid or something.
Cutting at the forehead in the end.
I know. How do you get past the bear Jew with a baseball bat and then leave then?
I have no idea.
Because they were pretty,
pretty brutal.
Yeah. All in all, I really like this movie. You guys, I get the feeling it's a similar opinion.
Yeah, same overall. 9 out of 10.
Yeah.
9 out of 10, definitely.
And this is a terrible comparison, but better or worse than District 9?
You can't compare, I don't think. It's a total different type of movie.
Well, let's put it this way. Let's do it two different ways. I would say for entertainment merit, I would go see District 9 again. If I wanted a ponderous film, I'd go see Inglourious Basterds.
Same.
I think District 9 certainly was more of a thinking film than most action movies, but compared to Inglourious Basterds, Inglourious Basterds was a talking film and District 9 was a shooting film.
Oh, yeah, totally.
So anyway.
Makes a lot of sense.
Well, last thoughts, everyone, before we close it out with a short show for once.
Yeah, really.
I guess, you know, next time we'll get back together, we can wrap up the college because we'll have, you know, I guess we've had all of our classes by then.
Yeah, we will. And hopefully, you know, one of our topics we were hoping to talk about today was the new Verizon phones that were supposed to be out now. And, of course, they didn't. We also went by, they didn't come out yet. On top of that, we went to Best Buy because they were supposed to have Zune HD reps on site and showing off Zune HD stuff. And so we were hoping to get a hands-on or even see them in store. But
it wasn't that big of a Best Buy, so...
Before we wrap it up, there is just a tiny bit of news on that device. You know, before we save it for next week, apps. As we previously said, the Seattle Times found apps on a menu. We now have video proof that there is an apps portion on the marketplace. During one of those hands-on on Saturday, there was a guy videotaping the whole thing. You know, the rep was showing him a bunch of worthless stuff. I mean, you know, they keep on showing this most deaf artist page and stuff.
I'm sure they're paid for that.
I know. Well, because it's like they set up a full artist page, you know, and so whenever they demo it, they're like, look at this. It's Most Def's page. Look at how loaded that up is. I'm just like, oh, yeah, it's Most Def. They've done that 6 times now. But she hands it over to him. She hands it over to the guy with the camera. He immediately pegs Marketplace and bam, music and apps. So... hopefully this means I can download, you know, maybe I can download my podcast wirelessly, but it looks like we definitely have an option for apps. And also the boxes were released. And so we see that the bottom option on that is games. So that's good. I mean, if nothing else, we can do web apps first and we can play some games on there. And that's a good start, you know, as far as I'm concerned. What do you guys think about that?
I can't wait till it comes out. I was just thinking today, you know, my classes were kind of boring. I was just thinking, if I had my Zune HD, I could sit here and, you know, get on the internet and Facebook and other stuff like that, which would be really nice, especially since, you know, in between classes, I got 15 minutes, you know, you walk there and you're sitting in class for about, you know, 10 minutes, nothing to do really, no girls to talk to, at least in my class.
And that's, yeah, one of the reasons we're excited about this is that all three of us, you know, there's two ways you can go down the laptop pathway. You can pick up the mobility laptops or the power laptops. And being the tech geeks we all are, we all opted for the power laptops. And so while everyone else pulls out their MacBooks and whatnot, their small, our 17-inch behemoths are sitting on our desks. The prospect of pulling out a Zune HD or portable device to do the same things you could do with that, with those devices, is really nice. You know, I can't wait. I mean, this is the sort of thing you can actually take notes on if you needed to and save them to the web. You know, we'll be able to blog wirelessly, mobily, everything. It's going to be great. Anyway, so we've talked about that just about every episode, but there's just a little bit of extra news about that. It is August 24 now, and so the release date is September 15th. So it's coming up. It's about 3 weeks away.
Hopefully next week we'll be able to talk about the phones, you know, kind of.
Yeah, hopefully. We're waiting on the Omnia HD to come out. We got some leaked information yesterday, that the fabled Motorola Shoals Android phone is coming in October to Verizon. And this phone, I mean, it looks awesome. It looks cool, but... you know, as with everything on Verizon, you have to go into it with skepticism because you know they're going to charge you substantially for the data and everything. But Mike is primarily interested in the Samsung Rogue, am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Rogue, you haven't heard much about it. I'm waiting for it to hear reviews. I know it's actually, people thought it was originally a successor to the Glide, but it's actually a successor to the Alias 2, which they... their E keypad didn't seem to sell very well.
I think it is a successor to the Glide.
I don't know, but that leaked information showed that it was supposed to replace the Alias 2.
Yeah, less a successor than a phase out. The leaked information we saw shows that they're phasing out the LG Dare in favor of the now more chocolate bar-like Chocolate 2, or Chocolate 4, rather. And that they're phasing out the Alias 2 into the, the Rogue. And that tells me, the Alias 2 is a relatively new phone. I mean, just a few months old. It tells me that it's really sold poorly. The reason for this is pretty obvious in my mind. It's an e-ink, you know, flip phone kind of thing. It's cool. But they put it next to the LG Envy Touch and LG Envy 3, both of which I would prefer over the Alias 2. And so I think people are going to the store and they're seeing that it's the same price. And they're making a smart choice and buying a better phone for the same price. John has... back. Good. Yay. So I'm going to go ahead and sign off and let you guys end the show because I've been dawdling on too long. So this is Paul signing off on ContraCast 10. It's been great. You guys?
See you guys.
Later.
Woohoo!